Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday, May the 20th, 2023. The time is now 6:07 p.m. We're behind schedule. Yes, I know. Had a little problem here with connecting to the internet. I don't know why, because I had it connected, and then all of a sudden it went down, and it took a minute, and I was playing Rush to get back connection. So sorry about the 7-minute delay, but we're here. You're listening to TNTS, the Michael Gay Show, live, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. And today we have some very interesting topics and lots to talk about. But first, let me introduce the lady of the house, the one, the only, Miss Janet Pollock Hawkins Davis.
Good afternoon. Hey, yay, how are you?
Fine. We missed you last weekend, and but I understand you had a great Mother's Day weekend. So
oh,
that
yeah.
was fantastic to hear. And it's funny because we were talking about it.
You can't pass up a good meal and gift. Mm-hmm.
Right. And what people don't realize is that now, see, Janet wasn't here last Saturday because her family took her out for Mother's Day last Saturday. We know Mother's Day is on Sunday. But see, this is what Janet's family thought, which I'm sure a lot of other people thought. Let's go on Saturday so it won't be so busy on Mother's Day. How long did you have to wait, you said, Janet?
Yeah, about almost 3 hours before we were seated. Because it was a party of seven, and so we had to wait for a bigger table. Yeah, so we got there at 6, and we didn't get really seated until around 8:30. And by the time we ordered food, we left out of there, it was almost 10:30. at night.
Now, see, now I would have been like, hold on, y'all got some picnic tables outside or something? Because I ain't waiting no 3 hours to eat now. Come on. You all better bring me some appetizers, something, some free snacks,
the
something.
And we had appetizers. You know, we had seafood nachos, and we had calamari, and, you know, they even gave the mothers a nice cheesecake after. You know, so it was good.
Okay.
Anybody
visit
Marietta Fish Market.
Marietta Fish Market, right. So if you guys are ever in the metro or suburb area, metro Atlanta area of Atlanta, and go into Marietta on Kent Road. It's called Marietta Seafood Market. It is fantastic. I've been there a couple of times. I really love it. But let me open up the mic for another co-host who was also busy last Saturday putting things together for a great show. The one, the only, Mr. Michael. There you go. You open up a can of worms, Mike. See, there you go, Mike. Mr. Time and Shield.
Hey, Time and.
There you.
Hello. How is everyone?
How are you?
Oh, I'm good. Hey. Long drive on the road, and you know, Janet, I will say about Mother's Day that everybody, there's always a man that's going to do something stupid that ruins his Mother's Day, like giving his girlfriend or his wife skillets for Mother's Day, or giving them a one of the guys, I remember when my father gave my mother some skillets, you know, for Mother's Day, and she sure beat his ass with them, too. And, you know, and his buddy got his wife a Hoover vacuum cleaner. And he thought just because it was Hoover, she wore his ass out with that goddamn Hoover. The hell you bring me? I go to work just like your rotten ass do. You going to bring me a Hoover?
I had a husband who did the same thing. He thought getting a broom or a mop or a vacuum cleaner was a present. That was not a present. I thank God my daughter got old enough to get me gifts.
Yeah, if you want to end up in the coldest bedroom in the world, go to that school. You will find.
You don't do that. Yeah, you don't do that on Mother's Day. You don't do that for Christmas. You don't. In fact, any holiday. If you're gonna buy a vacuum, just buy it and put it in the house and walk away. Just walk away. It doesn't mean it's for her. If you say
nothing at all, then
it's like just buy it, bring it home, and don't say shit. Just set it there, and when she look at you like, "What's that for?" Oh, I just thought it would be nice to have. It's the newest mom.
All I did, I got my girl a beautiful bouquet of flowers. She didn't have to ask me, okay? And no, her kids are not my kids, but she got a beautiful bouquet of flowers on a Saturday, not on even on Mother's Day, you know. A friend of mine said, "Hey, man, you did that all on your own?" Yeah, man. Well, you need an escort to tell you? Do you need someone to tell you? Oh, man, sometimes I don't know about all that,
don't listen to your friends. Yeah, don't listen to your friends, because a long time ago, a young lady, when we first started dating, I went to the florist. They were out of red roses. I said, "I'm still going to send her some roses." And they said, "Well, we got a nice bouquet that we can send you to send," and I had them delivered to her job. And a friend of mine was with me. Said, "Man, how much was that?" I said, "Like $45 for some flowers, man. You kidding me? Ain't no way in hell I'd spend no $45 on some flowers." I just looked at him like, "Bro, you just don't understand, do you?" You know, but they were delivered.
Mike, I've been thought that I've been teaching a class. When I go do open mic, I give Dan. I literally in the first 2 minutes of my show. When I'm doing an open mic and I listen to the comedians that go up before me, I am constantly trying to show people. I mean, that's grown men from like 27 all the way to say 60. Mm-hmm. And now I hate women. I hate, dude. God bless you. You're one of the greatest creatures in the world. If you don't know how to keep that, there's something wrong with you, bro. You need to go deal with your issues.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I know I've always been a fantastic cook. I believe in keeping myself up looking halfway decent, you know, and then you have somebody who don't even appreciate that you have a nice-looking wife. And others will come and say, man, that's your wife, you know, and he didn't think nothing of it because he's, like, hanging around with street women.
Oh, no. Well, some do. When you bring home, you know, if you bring it home Shaniqua, see, you can't take her out because she's going to run your head. Let me tell you something. You don't want to do it because she's sure going to act a plum fool in there, especially when she's mm-hmm. when you try to come by to get her food. I ain't done.
Yeah.
Can I get a doggy leg?
Yeah.
I've heard you can't make a project woman into a housewife. So I don't know how true that is, but I've heard that term before. You know, because that's just what, you know, some women prefer a certain type of guy, certain guys prefer a certain type of woman, you know, but saying, you know, the thing about the flowers, when I got the flowers, it was a trip because when she saw me and talked to me, she just went into tears and she was like, all the girls on my job were so jealous. See, that's what made her happy, is that, see, nobody else got that type of treatment. Nobody else got flowers sent to the job, see, you know, because the delivery guy came with them at the front desk, paging her and everything. She told me the whole story. And see, as a man, I'm like, yeah, I did that. I made her day. So, you know, the simplest things, even though it was $40, $45, you know, I mean, just something that simple means the world.
They need to quit looking at the money. But let me tell you, if you keep it simple, usually with women, it's the little things that you do.
That's right.
It is not the gigantic.
Yeah,
remember, Mike, hey, you got cats out there driving all these big-time cars and whatnot, but they ain't got no rap. But then you got the brother that's driving just an economy car and takes good care of himself, got a positive attitude, and call the girl up and say, hey, would you like to do blah, blah, blah? Would you like to? And they just, I had that problem at my job. I drove a Honda Civic hatchback. Them dudes would drive Porsches and everything and still couldn't get a woman.
Wow.
Yeah. Unfortunately. Well, I have to say, and then we're going to go on to our topics. I remember a while back, I think I might have told this story before, but my godmother passed, and I had a little small inheritance, and I appreciate it. And my mom was in control of it. She said, well, find a nice little car, you know, and get out. I said, okay. So I found a car I wanted, and she was like, oh, well, Paul and I already bought you a car. That was my stepdad. I'm like, really? Now, I don't know nothing about this, right? And they said, yeah, come over to the house. It's here. I'll get to the house. Timing, remember American Motors?
Yeah.
Remember the two cars that they made, the Hornet and the Gremlin? Well, thank God I didn't have the Gremlin. They bought me a Hornet, an American Motors Hornet, four-door Hornet. And believe it or not.
How old were you, Mike?
I was 19, I think.
Okay.
19 or 20. They bought me an American Motors Hornet. Now, I want you to guess what color it was.
Yellow.
Green.
Ding, ding, ding. Timing got it right. Green Hornet. That was my nickname every time I went down the street.
Right. The Green Hornet.
Just like the TV show. The Green Hornet.
Wait, isn't
that was
a
my
car
nickname.
Now they calling a Hornet? Isn't a car they've been advertising saying it's a Hornet just recently?
I don't know about that.
It might be.
But I don't know about, but it might be. But I had a lime green, well, not quite lime green, but a green Hornet four-door. And it had glass packs on it. Tommy, you know what glass packs are. So when I came down the street, I couldn't sneak home late because that car was like, everywhere I went. It was the green Hornet. Eight cylinder.
Hey, Mike, I feel you. because I had a 74 Ford station wagon, beige or green plastic seats, and no radio. So I understand your pain. That's all they had.
You know what I'm talking
about. That's all they had. They'll tell you, boy, ain't nothing else coming. And they talked about me. Oh, yeah, but guess who? Hey, and them sisters wouldn't get in my car. They wouldn't. Only if the weather was
bad.
But
guess what?
And all the time.
A Hornet is like $30,000+ for the mount. But they're different clothes, thank goodness.
Well, thank God they whipped up another thing of colors, because I remember there was the Green Hornet, there was the full Gremlin. You know, I mean, it was crazy when the cars come out. We're going to have to do a show about cars because and we have another guest co-host. He comes in whenever possible, and I'm glad that he's here today. He was with me last Saturday. I appreciate him. I'm going to open his mic momentarily.
All right.
The thing is that what's so crazy about cars, when the Hyundai first came out, everybody said, oh, that's a damn clone of the Honda. But look at Hyundai now. Hyundai is kicking some butt. Hyundai is one of the...
I have to go get me a new car. And I told him, he said, man, aren't you going to go get you a vet, anything like that? I said, bro, I'm a practical man. I live in California. You want to survive in California? Because you hear it's so expensive. You better learn to live a practical life. If not, you're going to be broken. You're going to be
broken.
Let
me open up this mic. I am so thankful he joined me last Saturday, and there were some topics we didn't get a chance to get to, so I want to see if we can squeeze a lot in. Janet had brought up some great stuff that we're going to talk about today, but let me open his mic. The one, the only, Mr. Jeffrey, Officer Jeffrey Crenshaw. What
all
up,
right,
Jeff?
All right. Hey, Crenshaw.
Well, wait a minute. Where's he at? Oh, okay. It looked like he hung up and he called back in. I got him on the board twice. I don't know why, but let me try this one here. You there?
Okay. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
We hear you now, man.
Okay. All right. Hey. Yeah, the call failed for some reason. I don't know, but I was listening to y'all. And Janet, you know how I feel about you. I'd still drive a Gremlin.
You drive a Gremlin, Crenshaw.
Hey, Timon said it. I drive a Gremlin and I got game. Come on, girl.
In your Gremlin, huh?
Rush Brown.
Rush Brown. And that's not the paint. That's just the real rust, huh? It was a paint job.
Hey.
It just been so old. It just got rusty. So you just call it Rust Brown. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, that was the color that when I had my Gremlin, that it came. It was like a orange rust brown color. They only had three colors for the Gremlin. One was yellow, orange rust brown, and I think a green.
There was a purple.
There was a purple.
I saw a purple.
Yeah.
Yep.
But they only made them in a couple of colors because the AMC Pacer, you know, the car with all the glass windows around you that lasted for 2 years.
I forgot about the Pacer.
Yeah, it was blue.
I remember the Pacer. I forgot about it, but I remember the Pacer, yep. Wow. And now, Janet, did you say that if one exists now, it's worth a certain amount of money now?
No, that wasn't a Gremlin. The Hornet. $30,000+, $33,000, $35,000, depends on, you know, what's inside. But that's a lot for a car, a Gremlin.
Yeah, it looks like
a Hornet.
It looks like a short body Dodge Charger now, or Challenger.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get to the topics before we do a show on cars. Because we're getting that way. But, hey, look, I'm like, hey, look, if you got a car and you take care of it, you know, if you really take care of it, drive it until the wheels fall off. I saw a show where these rich people, millionaires now, said that's what they do. That's how they became millionaires. I don't know why people feel like it's necessary to buy a new car every year. And especially where I'm at, I'm in electronics. I see people buying new TVs almost every year. I'm like, what's wrong with
the one
that you have?
Mike, you want to know why? I'll tell you why.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
The reason why people keep buying stuff is because we are considered consumers. And the average American buys within the first 10 seconds of what they see in an infomercial or commercial. It is pushed mm-hmm. down our throats. We set up a society of competition. Everybody's looking at what everybody's wearing. Everybody's trying to outdo everybody. Everybody's trying to have this, even though they don't need it. We're spending money mm-hmm. on storage. They're building storage places everywhere. Every time you turn around, big old parking lot, storage. And why? Because they got people out there buying crap that they don't
need.
But
guess what?
Most of the cars are rented. Right.
The ones that buy cars every year, they're rental.
Right.
Okay.
I just want to say this real quick,
and then I'm going to be quiet.
So everybody just let this finish out so I can hear everybody. But go ahead. Finish out. Go ahead. Whoever will.
Tommen, I don't want you to feel left out, so I just want you to know I drive a Gremlin.
Oh, brother, hey, I'm with you. I drive a 2003 Nissan Sentra with 310,000 miles on it.
Hey, can I ride in the back?
Hey, man, I got is things that need to be shredded in the back.
If I keep talking that way, I need to be shredded.
Okay, so what Tommy said does make a lot of sense because you know what I just thought about? And I see these shows, Storage Wars, where here's storage places, and you know the whole thing if you guys have watched the shows. There's more than one show where they, these buyers come and they bid on that storage, garage or whatever, and they can look inside of it. They can't touch anything, right? They can look inside of it when they open up the door and they start bidding, and, just like an auctioneer. Now, do I hear 500? 500, and everything. And the guy might buy one of the lockers and everything for $1,000 and start going through it and realize, hell, it ain't worth a damn. You just wasted $1,000. And then what they do, they take the junk and resell it. Right?
You ever seen
those shows? First of all, have any of you ever seen those shows? You've seen them, right?
Oh, yeah.
But that is kind of interesting of what Tommen said is that people buy stuff to store it and then forget about it or can't afford the storage space. And then, the old term, one man's junk is another man's treasure. And I've seen the shows, and I've seen what people
doing
stuff. Let me finish for a second. What I found interesting is that some people have had some really, really expensive stuff in those storage lockers. And unfortunately, if you don't pay your bill, the storage place will put another lock on there so you can't get in there, right? Now they own that merchandise. So now they don't bid it out. Somebody bought that locker, probably found something that's a rarity inside of it, and they take it somewhere, and now they're going to make money off of it. Isn't that a trip? Because it's like a recycling type process, and the value of that thing has gone up and up and up while it's been sitting in that storage locker, all those whatever, or they really didn't realize how valuable it really was. You understand my point? It's kind of crazy. And what Tommen just said makes a lot of sense, is that we are consumers, that we buy so much junk, we can't separate the junk from the really valuable things and lose out in the long run.
Oh, no, but I was saying that it's not about just storage. It's about the people competing and people trying to outdo each other. They're always flashing and showing off, and that is your ego telling you to buy things that you don't need, not living within your means, trying to keep up with the Joneses. That's to this day, it's still going on. And my sister does it. They're the brokest people I ever seen in my life. I told them broke people should not lose money. You don't lose money if you're broke.
And I agree with you. I agree with you on that. But what I was pointing out, the one thing that you said about storage, and that's what I'm saying. Oh. When you said that, we buy things just to store. You know, a lot of things we buy just to store. And you're right. And it just popped in my head when I thought about that. I said, you know, he's right about that. Because when I look at shows like that and everything, it's like, wow. And then somebody buys that storage, and then they turn around and they realize here's a value of it, and then they turn around and they sell it again for a higher value than what they bought it initially for. It's crazy. And it's an ongoing cycle. So that's what I was looking at. I wasn't trying to get away from what you were saying, but I saw something else in it. Wow. See, that's a whole different topic that we went into that we had planned, but you know, it's great. All right, so let me take a look at this thing that Janet put together here, and the order I want to go into. I don't want to talk politics first. First, I want to talk about an NFL legend, Hall of Famer, Jim Brown. He died at 87 yesterday, I believe it was. Yeah, it says arguably the greatest player in NFL history and a champion for social activism, former Browns running back Jim Brown died Thursday night. It wasn't really on Friday, but it was actually announced on Friday. Let me see. It says here NFL history and champion for several activism throughout and long after his football career ended with the Cleveland Browns. Brown died peacefully Thursday night at his home in Hollywood Hills, California. Brown's wife, Monique, confirmed in a post Friday on Instagram he was 87. Brown is survived by Monique and their two children, in addition to three children from his previous marriage. Quote, to the world, he was an activist, actor, and football star, Monique Brown wrote on Instagram. To our family, he was a loving and wonderful husband, father, and grandfather. Our hearts are broken. John Wooten, Brown's former roommate with the Browns, told USA Today Sports, we lost a great fighter. We all know Jim Brown. We all know, his career in football, his acting career.
Mm-hmm.
We also know that he supported Donald Trump, and a lot of black people didn't like that. I'm not trying to be mean, but, you know, a lot of folks didn't like that. But, you know, a person's political stance shouldn't, in my opinion, be meshed with their, you know, of what their of their individual accomplishments were, right? Would you agree?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's
a
lot of actors that I know they're, you know what? Well, let me say this: there's a lot of actors I really like and appreciate, you know, and watched in movies and TV shows and everything. And I never really knew their political stance, but then once I found out, I may not agree with it, but I didn't start hating them because that's how they looked at things. Clint Eastwood, you know, I mean, when I found out what his political stance was, I was like, I don't agree with you, Clint, but I still like his movies. What's your thoughts, Tyner?
Well, we had that situation with Herschel Walker.
Yeah.
I love Herschel Walker as a football player, you know,
mm-hmm.
but when he got to getting on television and lying, talking all out the side of his neck, I'm like, bruh, really? And you're trying to run some lies. No. Stop it.
Right.
No, don't play with it. And all this stuff about, you know, following Trump, I'm telling you. And Janet, you know this. That man has made an ass out of our society within a four-year period. That man came in and just caused so much disinformation and so many problems, and everybody's sitting there cheering him on, and it does bother me, Mike.
It bothers me
that people have that much ignorance in their mind.
Mm-hmm. And they still home.
You know, and if you're that ignorant, then hey. Now, I was with Jim when Jim was talking like what he was fighting for in the 60s. I'm with you. Because that was mm-hmm. that definitely. With all that was going on with Malcolm X and Martin Luther King being killed and, you know, and all in the Vietnam War, I'm with you. I'm with him 100%. And, yes, he fought for a lot of things. But there were a lot of cats that sold out black folks. And I'm telling you, because they, you know, I'm not saying that Jim Brown sold nobody out. But, you know, I can't get with you if you're sitting over there dealing with a dude who that's just my thing. I'm not a Trumpster. I don't buy what Trump say. Any man that can bankrupt a casino is an idiot. Why should I back you? People bringing you money and you turn around and you bankrupt the casino? All of them?
Right. You know, when McCarthy was trying to be elected and it took 15 times, then they had this young representative that was black trying to be Speaker of the House. It was like a token. I cringe every time he's on TV with his talking points because it's like he's been brainwashed. You know, if you're sitting there watching the news, you know exactly what's going on. You can't have somebody come up saying something entirely different, especially when the Republicans was trying to take away, I know we're not supposed to be talking about politics right now, Mike, but they're trying to take away Medicaid, Medicare, SNAP, things like that, Social Security, and I think it's crazy. When you can, all you got to do is just roll back the things you gave the rich, the Republicans. The rich people, if you roll those taxes back, we'll be okay. And not try to take it for people who are less fortunate.
Well, Janet, what his problem was, he is so intellectually smart that he's stupid.
Yeah.
Okay? And the problem with that is selfishness and greed. He wasn't,
right.
You know, he's a very intellectual and smart man, but he's only thinking about his own pockets. So
that's
he sounded
it.
Stupid. He sounded very stupid. Jim Brown, on the other hand, wasn't thinking about his own pockets Republican. Now, Herschel Walker, I think it has nothing to do with him being Republican or Democrat. He just... embarrassed us.
Yes, he did.
You know,
well,
what the hell are you talking about vampires and werewolves for, and you running for politics? The only thing I can think of is...
And they were still going to vote for him.
Because all the people up there in that place where he was running are bloodsuckers. And that's why he was talking about vampires and werewolves.
Okay.
And then they raised money for him and only gave him a small percentage of it.
Here's the problem I had with the whole thing. It was scripted, in my opinion. You bring in a black ex-football player who no longer lives in the state of Georgia, by the way. And you tell him, hey, look, we want you to run for office, for Senate against an educated minister of a black historical church. Now, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but if they would have came to me and said, yeah, we want you to run, I'd be like, you out of your damn mind? This is a minister. And you want me to say what?
It could have been two white men, Mark, Mike.
They chose a black man, and you know why. They chose a football player. They chose a football They chose a former football player of the University of Georgia, former NFL player, okay, who did not live in the state anymore. And so going back to what you said, an individual who's intellectually smart but stupid, well, anyone who's intellectually smart can fool the stupid people. And that was the game plan. Fool the stupid
people
to think
this is it. Just like they did with Kanye West. When Trump ran the first time, they tried to siphon votes from Biden by putting Kanye West on the ballot in certain states. And who want, you know, you think because a person's black, you're going to go vote for him? You vote for the one that's going to give you what you need far as your income or health-related, things like that, not just because you're an artist, a singer.
Who?
Herschel. He almost won.
Yeah, you're right. He almost won. You're right. He almost won.
So what are we doing? That's why I said it wouldn't have mattered if they were white or black, Republican or Democrat. They start talking about aliens and ships sucking you up in the air, and hell no. That threw me completely off, you know, and then impersonating a police officer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, trying to impress people by saying, I work in law enforcement.
But you just said what I was just talking about. They grabbed someone they thought that they could, what's the old term, pull the wool over your eyes? That they thought because, and that's my whole point. Just because he's a former athlete, successful businessman, and then some of the stories he told we found to not be true as far as his businesses, he didn't have thousands or hundreds of people working for him. He had 8 people at one place. Okay, fact check. Okay, so we come to find out. But they thought they could pull the wool over our eyes and believe in Herschel Walker. But they didn't vet him well enough. And I'm sorry to say, but Herschel Walker sounded like the most ignorant individual to be at Georgia that I've ever heard in my life. He said he's the graduating class. No, he didn't. We found that out not to be true. So, again, they thought they were going to pull the wool over our eyes, but once things started being fact-checked, we realized – that's not true.
Right. He didn't graduate because of Trump. Trump convinced him to leave Georgia and go to the USFL.
Him and Trump became friends then.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And Trump ruined the USFL too.
Yep.
That's what they don't understand. What in the world? Well, we like his policies. We know he's a little crazy. But we like his policy. The policy that he did was policy for the rich. It wasn't a policy for us. You gave money. You cut taxes for rich people.
Yep, that's why I said they need to roll it back.
But that, you know, Janet, we'd have to burn it down. They'd have to have one more time to go in there and burn it down. Because they don't want to give them people. I'm telling you, they do not care about the American worker. They do not want to pay you. They have not.
Okay.
Everywhere we go, it's all about the shareholder. It is not about the American worker. They don't want to pay you.
Let me get back to the topic at hand, though. We ventured into Donald Trump, but the thing is that we were talking about Jim Brown. What's your thoughts about Jim Brown? What's one of your memorable things about him, whether it be in his sports, his athletic career? People are posting over social media the greatest that's ever played. I can agree. I can truly agree he was the greatest that ever played in that era. And then in his movies, activism, what's on your mind about Jim Brown? Ladies first.
Just like you said, you know, he was just a great football player, and he was good at being an actor and activist, you know, but you didn't hear from him ever since really too much after he had a meeting with Trump in the White House, you know, so You know, I just, you know, I'm praying for the family. That's about it.
All right. Simon?
He was a, he's a great football player. The guy was a great activist, you know, and he gave a lot. Like I said, as he got older, you know, there's something in the psyche that they believe that, you know, when he went down the road, I mean, I didn't even know that he was voting for Trump, and it wouldn't have mattered. You know, I look at him as the individual he was and what he brought and what he fought for and what he gave, because a lot of these sports guys today don't understand the impact that Jim Bill Russell and those guys, Kareem, they paved the way for these young cats to do what they're doing. You know, and he didn't get nearly the money that these cats are getting. These guys
didn't
get paid for their potential. They're not even getting paid for the work they've done. Jim was a great activist. He was there for Martin, Malcolm, all of it. So, yeah, that's what I have to say about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Officer Crenshaw, what's your last thoughts on this?
The strongest man to live, because he did the impossible. I don't know a lot about his activism. I know more about his football life. And to play football back then in that era with the minimum amount of equipment that they had, knowing that racism was still strong and how they were looking at not only trying to take him completely out at that time, he still was able to do what he did.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that they didn't like it, and they learned to admire it after time.
Okay. Interesting.
I see you, Mike. I've been reading the book, Birth of a White Nation. And if anybody ever gets the opportunity to read it, it really gives you an opportunity to pay attention to the insaneness of how whiteness was created and how they put it together through the anti-misogynism, and they created it because they did not want poor whites and poor blacks to come together. And at that time, they were called Europeans, Scottish, Irish, and Africans. And there were free blacks at that time, free Africans, everything, and everybody slept with everybody. All this stuff was created, and it's a damn shame that this stuff is still going on today, that we're still even having conversations about it. It is probably some of the best straight psychological warfare. It was divide and conquer. It was done, and it's still lasting today, and it didn't come about till 1664, 1681, somewhere around there. And it was in Virginia and Maryland.
Right.
And it was really against Africans. They basically just said, hey, if we can keep the white folks in control, then we make them overseers over the Africans, okay? And the white women, if we catch you sleeping with any of the Africans, we are going to, or if you try to marry one, we're going to enslave you too. And they completely wiped all that out. And it's already been heavily documented. You can go and read it. You can look it up. There's so many books you can get. But this book, man, is great. And I think everybody needs to read it. And it'll tell you on how, because I always wanted to know how stupid this stuff is and how everybody's just been bamboozled.
Let me quickly say
something here, because we're almost at the top of the hour. I want to share my end of it. I was kind of disappointed in Jim Brown that he would support Donald Trump, not supporting the Republican Party per se, but supporting this individual that had, you know, some criminal background, who was running for president and became president. I believe you're not above the law, and over the years Donald Trump and still believes he is. I want to share a story with you guys, though, that you probably find unbelievable. Back when I was in school, think it was first year of high school or so, there was a young lady, beautiful, beautiful young lady. And I was trying to talk to her, and I was hitting on her and everything. And, you know, we got to be cool. And I was like, okay, I'm almost there. Okay. And she had beautiful cousins. I had to pick her, like, do I want to talk to Laura or do I want to talk to Kim? Nah, I want to talk to Kim. So I started talking to Kim and threw down my best Mac and all my rap and everything. She said, Michael, but it's not going to be able to work. I said, why not? She said, I'm moving. You're moving? Yeah. I'm leaving in another couple of months. To where? Chicago. You're moving to Chicago? Yeah. I'm like, damn. Years down the road, about 7-8 years down the road, I don't recall what magazine, I don't know if it was Sports Illustrated or something, but I'm going through the magazine, and there's a story about Jim Brown. And the author writes, and there's pictures and, you know, a few photos, and I'm reading it and everything. He says, as we're talking with him, you know, with his girlfriend Kim, and I'm like, what? And I look at the photo, and it's Kim Jones, the girl I was trying to talk to in California that moved to Chicago. I'm like, damn, she left me for Jim Brown? Oh, my God. I was crushed. But, yeah, that's a true story. I really tripped off of that. I'm like, wow, Jim Brown got my girl. But, Jim, rest in peace. Okay? I forgive you. All right, so thought I'd just share that.
Mike, you didn't want to
wait, wait,
day,
wait,
Mike,
wait, 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 wait. Jim got a girl 20 years younger than him.
Oh yeah,
because
oh, Jim had no problem with that. Hell,
20 years.
Because
Jim had no problem with
that. No way.
What
you
say?
Mike, you didn't want to end up in the hospital. You didn't want to mess with that homeboy.
You know, because now Jim there's been some stories about Jim doing some crazy things now. You know that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But, no, I didn't want him to send no hit men out to California when I lived there.
Oh, no,
you know,
Mike,
that.
Mike. There ain't going to be no hit men coming home, boy. No, bro. Hey, that
he going to be in person.
Like brick. That old dude's fist look like bricks, man. Once he get hold of you, he ain't letting go.
Mike, I hate to tell you this, but I lost my virginity to Kim Jones. Now, it might have been a different Kim Jones, but her name was Kim Jones.
I think it's probably a different Kim Jones. I don't think this Kim Jones made the route to Georgia and California and Chicago, but that she did, well, damn, she damn good. But, no, seriously, that's what happened. And it tripped me out when I looked at that article, and I looked at the picture. I said, that's her. And they had a picture of them roller skating or some shit like that. And I'm like, wow. And I think, I wonder how she's doing. But anyway, so that's the last I want to say about Jim Brown. But rest in peace, yeah. Truly a legend, an activist. His movies, which were a lot that people call black, black exploitation type of black exploitation movies, you know, everything. But the guy transitioned well from sports into acting. He was definitely an individual that, you know, was a lot of fun to watch and his characters. So rest in peace.
He was in the dirt. He was in the Dirty Dozen.
Oh, yeah, and he was in the Dirty Dozen, so not all movies he did were black
and
exploitation
he
movies.
Way, he did Western with
Westerns, too. Right.
Raquel Welch.
Yeah, but you're right. I saw that, too. I pulled up a few of them. But, the black exploitation scene, you know, and a lot of them were just comedy-type stuff. A few of them were, but he did do some work in comedy stuff. Right, so he had a great career after football, you know, and so that's what's most important. And not many people in certain industries can transcend into something else. You follow me? He did a good job. Some people who be in sports and you know some have been in sports and go into acting and vice versa, well, in certain other fields, are not that good at it, you know, but some do transition well and become more memorable for their second career than what their first career was. Does that make sense? Because I'm sure a lot of folks, younger folks, if you show them a picture of Jim Brown and you show them a photo of him or a clip of him in one of the movies, they might say, oh, yeah, I remember. I've seen this before. But if you told them about his football thing, they'd be like, oh, I never knew that he was one of the first and greatest football players, African-American football players in history.
That's kind of like that's like Terry Crews and Carl Weathers.
Mm-hmm.
People don't place their football career on them like they do mm-hmm. their acting career now.
Mm. Well, if you look at Tiny Lister, if you remember him, you guys remember him as Debo in the movies, in the Friday movies and a few other movies he got into. Actually, I knew him. He was a bouncer at a club called Big Daddy's in California. He was a bouncer at the front door. The nicest guy you ever want to meet. Seriously, the nicest guy you would ever want to meet. I would see him all the time. And then he became Zeus in wrestling, right? He was doing that. Then got into the acting thing. Next thing you know, boom, he started blowing up as being this troublesome character, this threatening figure in the Friday movies and a few other movies he played in. But you see him and you meet him, and he's like, hey, man, what are you doing? You know, you're like, what's up?
I don't want to talk about him. He took my English girlfriend from me. I don't want to talk about him.
Are you telling us the truth? Are you just bullshit?
No shit. No shit. The real deal. This girl I was dating from England after I got divorced from my first wife, she left me for Tiny. She left me for Tiny. Beautiful. Beautiful girl from England. Left me for damn Tiny. I don't want to talk about him.
Okay, so anyway, but yeah, it's a trip that where, you know, the characters that individuals play, you know, you think that that's them in real life all the time, but a lot of them really are not. All right, so let's move forward. Let me drop a couple of nuggets here. Today is the wedding of Ashley Nicole Lewis, the daughter of course, who's been on our show, our beloved Miss Karen White. And, of course, Ashley has been on the show with Karen. And her father is Terry Lewis, the dynamic writing team of Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. She's getting married today, so congratulations, Ashley. Look forward to seeing some photos soon. And let's see what else. Singer, songwriter, model. Hold on. Something just popped up on my screen. Okay. Grace Jones just celebrated her birthday yesterday. Grace Jones is something, you know, back in the day, you guys remember Grace Jones, right? I mean, she would wear some of the outrageous outfits. She kind of, I mean, not kind of, she really crossed the line on certain things and got away with it. But I have to say that, you know, I wasn't like a big fan of hers, you know, because a lot of folks say, oh, you like Grace Jones? You know, she's in the gay community and everything. I'm like, no, you got to respect this woman for her talent of what she did. And I have to say what really brought out her talent, you guys remember the movie Boomerang. Her character in there I thought was hysterical. It was crazy. She played the role great. But they say that Grace is one of the nicest people you would ever meet. That everything that you see about her, according to some folks that I've you know, spoke to that kind of know a little bit more of her. And she's really laid back. It's all a character for her when she does entertainment. And she was a actual model before she got into the entertainment industry. Let's see what else. I think that's all I have on the first. Okay, so let's get on track with the topics. Okay, so we were talking about Mr. Jim Brown, and now I would like to go to Rudy Giuliani. Oh, poor Rudy. In politics, judge orders Rudy Giuliani to detail finances in election defamation suit. The order comes amid disputes about access to Giuliani's evidence related to the suit filed by 2020 election poll workers. Excuse me. A federal judge has ordered Rudy Giuliani to provide, I already read that part, and it says detailed accounting of his finances and net worth in connection with a lawsuit filed by two Georgia poll workers who contend that the Trump lawyer defamed them by publicly accusing them of fraud in the 2020 presidential election. U.S. District Court Judge Braille Howell issued the order during an unusual hearing Friday on ongoing disputes about access to Giuliani's evidence related to the suit brought by Ruby Freeman and Wandra Moss 2 years ago. During the nearly three-hour hearing, Howell repeatedly irritation at having to expend considerable time on the discovery dispute, which she suggested. I'm sorry, my screen just kind of like shifting on me. It should have been worked out by the parties. Quote, I can say I'm happy about it, the judge said, later referring to Giuliani's efforts to search for relevant emails and messages as a, quote, murky mess. While the court session explored a variety of issues about evidence in the case, much of the focus was on Giuliani's claim in a recent court filing that he could not perform further searches of emails and other records stored in an electronic database because the vendor was seeking $320,000 to allow that. The former mayor, U.S. attorney, and Justice Department official said he simply could not afford that sum. Howell said Giuliani's, quote, claim of poverty meant that the plaintiffs were entitled to insight into his finances. An attorney for Giuliani, Joseph Sibley, said the plaintiffs should not be provided some personal information like detailing Giuliani's obligations in his 2019 divorce from his third wife, Judith Nathan. Third wife? Woo! It's like changing underwear when it comes to marriages. But Howell said the plaintiffs were entitled to know about Giuliani's financial condition, including the divorce-related payments, before declining whether to help foot the bill for document searches in the case. Typically, parties must handle their own costs to comply with discovery obligations. What's your thoughts about this whole thing with Giuliani? I want to go with Janet first because you researched this. Is he really in trouble with this thing, or is this something that's going to just, you know, fade out at some point?
I think he's in trouble, but he's also has another suit that's been filed against him because he didn't pay the lady that worked for him, and she's suing him for $10 million. Plus, she had to give sex to oral sex to him while he was on the phone talking to Trump. Plus, Giuliani's in trouble for $2 million. Him and Trump was selling pardons for $2 million and splitting the money. And the girl
Stop. Now, is this in this article where he was getting oral sex on the phone? Is this in the article?
The first article that you didn't read. It's real raunchy. Yeah. But she sued him for $10 million.
Okay, this is through the, not political, this is through Daily Beast, I guess, what you're telling me. Okay, so this person came forward and made the allegations that she was giving him oral sex while he's on the phone with Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. Constantly. But $10 million, and she's got everything on tape. She's got videos. She's got emails. She's got all this evidence. So his goose is cooked. Yeah.
I'm trying to scroll through it and see that whole part where she says that.
What?
Because I want to be clear and read that.
It's 70 pages all together of her complaint. But she's suing for $10 million. You know, and it's in there showing that he's told her that him and Trump was selling pardons for $2 million. $2 billion, sorry, each. Something like that. I don't know. Anyway, but the first thing that you were reading, those are the two women that claimed during the January 6th hearing, and they were saying how their life was destroyed because of the things that Giuliani accused them of. You know, so now he's trying to act like he's broke. He's not broke.
Okay. What's you guys' take on this Giuliani thing? Are you aware of it?
It was hot in the news all week.
I want to see if Timon is aware of this.
What's that, Mike?
What's your take on this? Are you aware of this whole thing with Giuliani?
Oh,
with Rudy?
He can cancel Christmas, Mike. They're all going down. It's all over. They're all going down, man. So, ain't nothing you can do. Ain't nothing to do to stop it. They're going down.
Yeah.
That's all
okay.
I have to say about it because everybody keeps saying that Trump ain't going to jail. He's going to get indicted. He's going to be indicted. You know, they can sit there and try to make this man out to be a god if they want to. But, hey, you see them. You see all the Janet, the Proud Boys start singing. Did they not? Trump told us to do this.
Yep. Yep. Sure did.
Okay. Francois, what's your thoughts? You got something to say on this? With Giuliani?
I'm nauseous right now. I'm very nauseous because of what Janet said. Flipped my stomach because I just can't picture that.
Lady is a nice looking lady, too. She really
that's
is.
That's what I'm saying. It flipped my stomach. I've been listening to some of the complaints and stuff, but I didn't know it went that far. That flipped my stomach. But, he's done. He's complete. Giuliani is done. And, you know, he's got the money. But, see, that's where the rich, that's where they prevail. Because they have the money to prolong things and to pay for things for the delay. To where us who don't have the money, we can't pay for all of those other things that these ladies are asking him to pay for.
Right.
But let me ask you guys a question real quick, though. I have to ask this question because, I mean, we really don't know the whole detail of it. But, according to what Janet said, that the story says is that Rudy Giuliani would never do oral sex on him. Okay. Are you forced to do it? Excuse me?
I said, Google search.
The thing is, I mean, okay, I'm not going to do it now, but I'm just saying that where. But you do have a choice in the matter, right? I mean, I don't know if he had something to hang over her head, that if you don't do you're fired.
She thought he was going to pay her $1 million a year to help him and be his assistant. She thought she was getting $1 million, and all she got out of it was $12,000 that she got reimbursed for the money she spent for traveling and everything.
Okay,
so she worked with him for almost 2 years for nothing.
But Janet, here's the thing: I'm just trying to be realistic about this. If this is a business transaction, if this is a business deal, and he says, "Yes, I'll pay you $1 million," I would say, if I was a woman, can I have that in writing? And if that individual said no, then I have nothing. I don't have nothing to stand on. I'll put it in writing if you. Excuse me.
She had it in writing. The thing is, he said he was going through a divorce, and so he didn't want to bring it up that he was paying this woman $1 million a year. So he asked if he could hold off on it, and she agreed to it. But then that money never surfaced. That's why she's suing. And she said the reason why she's suing is because Jean Carroll came on TV in the court thing with Trump and got $5 million.
Okay, so let me say this, though. What I'm trying to understand is that where if there was a deal or an agreement made that he was going to pay her this, where did the sexual favors come intact and why? And why would she submit herself to that? Well, he said, well, you know, I'll make sure it goes through if you do this. And you got his wrinkle ass.
Now, Mike, you know that's not going to be in writing. That's not going to be in writing that a woman's going to do that. That's like, you know,
I'm not saying the oral sex part. I'm saying the payment first. And then what Janet just said is that, you know, it didn't go through. But the thing is, how did the oral sex thing come into play?
It's all in the document.
What were you saying, Tommy?
I was saying that this thing of what she when women go through stuff like this, like the casting couch, okay? You play upon things that I need. This is what I'm going to do for you, and all this other stuff. Now, you can say, well, you know, she was an adult. She knew what she was doing. He didn't force it on her, but he agreed to pay her, and then, you know. Now, that is maybe consensual, but if you found a way to take advantage of her and get her to give you the old BJ, that you know, the old fellatio,
mm-hmm.
then yes, you know, and that's apparently what he did because they were lying. They've been lying so much. I'm not surprised at this stuff because, as you know, money and sex is always involved with those cats.
Mm-hmm. It's a bombshell lawsuit.
But the thing is that, but here's the thing, and I mean, you know, I'm not trying to fuss or debate, but the thing is that we are all adults, and when you know, if it as they say, if it seems too good to be true, it must be. And if you're having a conversation, they say, this is what I'm going to do. And then all of a sudden the person comes back and say, oh, I'm sorry. I can't do this. I can't do that as we initially agreed, right, due to
mm-hmm.
something else that you're not aware of. This is what you're hearing this person say. You don't know how true that shit is or not. So at
she's
that point.
She's got emails. She's got text messages. Giuliani talking, asking for sex and stuff, going,
well,
you know, pushing
himself
on her.
I understand that whole part of it, but here's the thing, all I'm trying to ask and all I'm trying to understand is why would you go through the whole act? You're recording all this
Mike,
stuff.
That's the same thing I told you to have with Homeboy. That's the same thing happened when Trump was trying to say, I don't know this person, and why didn't they yell out if these things were happening? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this man is guilty. Okay? I'm not holding the pail for nobody. These guys are crooks,
mm-hmm.
and they go,
mm-hmm.
I hope they throw the book at them. I hope he gets disbarred. He went from going from being the mayor, America's mayor,
mm-hmm.
to being nothing but crap.
Mm-hmm.
And I know. And y'all can, and he can, hey, no, this brother needs to go to jail. Him, Navarro, all of them. Because as you keep digging, they can be mad about, oh, they took advantage of us and blah, 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 and with the whole Russia thing. Uh-uh. What you guys
did.
See,
let me ask you guys a question. So I want to ask you guys a question. Who has gone to jail so far? Who has gone to jail so far after, 2 years of investigations, actually more than that, we can say 4 years of investigations, and I'm not talking about just the side cats. What major political figures are the ones that we still hear have gone to jail? None of them. Now, I understand, let me finish, and I want you to respond. And the whole thing is that where I'm finding it interesting, Seth, because, see, you know, for a long time, folks have been saying, this person going to jail, that person going to jail, that person going to jail, that person. The only ones that have been going to jail, as you said earlier in the show, you and Janet have both said earlier in the show, are the people of the Oath Keepers, the Proud Boys, because they said, Donald Trump told us to do this, and that's their excuse, right? And they're going to be rightfully convicted of their individual crimes, correct? But the individuals who actually were the conspirators, according to what the government is trying to say, is that these individuals conspired, you know, and actually put these people in the position to do these crimes, are the ones we're after. But we haven't seen any results as far as anyone in power, anyone in Congress, anyone in presidency, anyone that has anything to do with government actually get put in jail.
The wheels are turning. Sonny is getting ready to do indictments. And she said the latter part of July or early August, he's going to be doing the indictments. And so far, nine of the people who were false electors, they're squealing like pigs. So you know who the person at the top is.
Well, Donna, I'll say this. No, Mike, ain't nobody went to jail. Because you know what? Just like Officer Crenshaw just said, they got money to keep themselves out of jail. Okay? Plus the cases ain't done.
There you go.
Got to walk in. You got to walk in and make sure dot your I's, cross your T's if you're going to take this dude down. Because let me tell you, the only reason why Nixon didn't go to jail was because Ford pardoned him.
That's right.
And he was
He resigned. No, first of all, no, hold on. I have to stop you on that.
He resigned.
Hold on. He resigned, got the hell out of Washington, which he could have went to jail had he not been pardoned. He still could have been. He could have been, but what happened was when Ford looked at it Nixon did the best thing instead of trying to fight it, right? Like Donald Trump always tries to fight shit, right? But Nixon did the right thing. He said, you know what? As of such and such time, I'm going to resign. I'm done. He left. Now,
it was a deal made, Michael.
Then I'm still trying to say something, please. And then Ford pardoned him. Had Ford not pardoned him, he could have still been indicted. The Ford pardoned, you're right. But nobody. Can I finish? But in this area, no one has done that. Nobody has done that for Donald Trump. So,
because, Mike, we haven't had that in years.
I know that, sir.
Where we did not have a peaceful transition of power. No one's ever, this man said, no, I'm not going to peacefully go away. I'm going to create a lie. And so, yes, no one's went to jail. But guess what? You've got to make sure that everything is done right. And like I said, I believe, and I know Biden's not going to pardon it. If Biden got anything to do with it, he's going to jail.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, Biden's going to step away from it. He's going to be like, oh, no. I'm not going to bring in my presidential powers on this. The people have spoken, right, if it goes that route. Now, as Janet said, that where an indictment decision is supposed to come by June. Am I right, Janet? Okay.
No, in the July 1st of August.
Okay, and let's see if it changes. You know, because sometimes things have changed. I'm surprised that some of the things have been
pushed out until almost the end of next year. I'm sorry, the end of this year. I'm surprised that they've been pushed back so far or pushed out so far. So
well,
in my
Bill
mind,
Barr
it tells
has
you
already
that.
Stated.
Right.
Bill Barr has already stated that what the thing that he's going that they're gonna get him for is the Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah.
Bill Barr
the
said
document.
He, yeah. Bill Barr even stated that the clearest
mm-hmm.
case they got for him is Mar-a-Lago. Now,
okay.
Trump's got money. I can't help. I mean, we can't help it, Mike. That a bunch of idiots are sending this man money, and he's using the money to fight his cases. There are people taking their little donations and using that money
mm-hmm.
to fight his case. And they
the
also are investigating him for that.
Right. The last
mm-hmm.
lawyer
okay.
for Trump just quit because when he went and had that town hall on CNN, and he said, yeah, I took the documents. That guy quit because he was trying to say his people packed up the documents and took them to Mar-a-Lago. Trump wasn't aware of it, but he said he was. So the guy quit. His top lawyer that was going to represent him for that part. You know, he
all
can't
right.
keep his mouth shut.
All right, you guys. So I'm switching gears. I'm switching gears because we're getting down to the last bit. If I got to go another 15 minutes, that's fine, but I want to change subject for a moment. Jordan Neely, street artist who died from chokehold on a New York City subway, mourned at a funeral in Harlem. I know all of you heard this story. I've probably seen the clip. What really bothers me now is that we actually see the videos of people being their lives being taken from them. We actually see this. Let me get into the story, but I want you guys to listen to what I'm saying. It's like normal. It's like the norm now. We see videos of we saw George Floyd being choked to death. Now we see Jordan Neely. Then you see where people are posting on social media talking about the type of individual he was. Oh, he would make threats and this and that and the other. Let me read a little bit of this, and then I'm gonna ad-lib a little bit, and then I want you guys to chime in after that. Jordan Neely, the homeless street artist who was the victim of a fatal chokehold on a New York City subway, was remembered at his funeral Friday as a well-known and loved performer. Neely, 30, known for his Michael Jackson impersonations, was restrained in a chokehold May 1st on a Manhattan subway by another writer, Daniel Penny, after Neely began shouting that he was hungry, thirsty, and had little to live for. Penny, a 24-year-old U.S. Marine veteran, surrendered to police last Friday to face a second-degree manslaughter charge. Quote, he performed in front of thousands of people in the streets of New York City and in the subways where he was well-known and loved. Neely's great aunt, Mildred Mahazu, said at his funeral service at the Mount Nebo Baptist Church in Harlem. Okay, quote, one of Jordan's biggest passions was to dance and entertain. He was greatly influenced by pop star Michael Jackson, who started idolizing from the age of 7. Over time, he began to perfect MJ's dance moves by the time he turned 18. Neely's death ignited protests and calls for Penny's arrest while refocusing attention on struggles with homelessness and mental illness across America. Penny was released on a bail package last week, which included a $100,000 cash insurance company bond. He has not been indicted and has not yet been required to enter a plea. Neely had experienced mental health issues since 2007 when he was 14. After Neely lost his mother, with whom he shared an unbreakable bond, quote, he moved in with his father. adding that in high school, he was a star basketball and soccer player. Al Sharpton delivered a eulogy at Neely's funeral and said the street artist, quote, wasn't trying to be something negative, but wanted to be like Michael, and, quote, made the world smile and get on one beat. Here's the thing. I want you guys, I'm sure you heard the story. I hope all of you heard the story. This is too much of a reminder to me of the Floyd, the George Floyd thing, but in a different way. It was police officers or a police officer who killed George Floyd. This is a regular citizen.
But a Marine.
This young man, I'm not finished. Please let me finish. This is a regular citizen. Every day I see people, homeless people, who have mental problems. I know this for a fact. There's this one woman I've seen for over years, over 10 years in the same neighborhood. And she says some crazy stuff, but she doesn't touch anybody. She don't bother anybody. People who've been in the area know this is just her. Come to find out, she comes from a very prominent family. And they can't control her. They can't bring her back into they don't know what to do. This situation here, just because this guy gets on the train, says he's hungry, thirsty, this and the other, he never said he's going to kill anybody. He never put his hands on anybody. But this Marine veteran puts him into a chokehold for over about 7 minutes. And if you watch the video, you see the guy, I mean, Neely is not punching back hard or anything. You know, he's not struggling really hard because the chokehold is very effective. It cuts off oxygen to the brain. What does that mean? You can't think. Can't really move. A Marine veteran should know that. And a chokehold normally will make a person black out to a certain extent. But you put this guy in a chokehold and then had a grimace on your face, like a smile on your face. You just killed this man. In my opinion, this is murder, because to subdue is one thing. To kill is another thing. I want to go ladies first. And gentlemen, I want your opinion on this. To me, this is clear cut. Third degree. Should be second. But, yeah, this guy should go behind bars. He did not have to kill the man. Janet?
I called my son, who had a career in the Marine Corps for over 30 years. He retired from the Marine Corps. And he told me, and I've known this for a long time, a Marine can take somebody out in 2 seconds. And to do a chokehold, you're supposed to release when the person is not struggling and then put him back in the chokehold when he starts struggling again. The guy was trained. He knew this. So why would you put someone in a chokehold and let him and keep your arm around him in that hold without letting you know, release?
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely couldn't say that was an accident, because he was trained. And then to sneak up behind somebody and then take him down like that, you know, and then he had two other people holding him down. No. Mm-mm. They need to throw the book at
him.
That's all I have to
say. Okay, so you know, Timon, he has to dip out because he gets ready for things. He has Officer Crenshaw, you're a former military individual. What's your take on this? And after you share your take on this particular thing, had that been you, would you have intervened and took this person down? And if so, with your training, do you think that it would have been to the point that you would have this person subdued in this manner of where they lost their life? Let him speak, please. Crenshaw, are you there?
I'm here. I probably would have reacted the same way the Marine did, with one exception. It's called a ladder of escalating force. That means you use the amount of force needed, necessary, to restrain. When he stopped resisting, you stop using force. When he starts back resisting, you continue to use force again. In other words, release, hold, release, hold.
That's right.
Now, watching the video, okay, the two men that were there with him were trying to grab Neely's hands, and Neely was still swinging his hands. But that doesn't justify a squeeze on the neck. A squeeze on the neck would be justified by trying to get back up. I'm already holding you down.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't justify me tightening up further on your neck. Now, Mike, you know from back in the day with wrestling, okay, when they called what they call the sleeper hold, it's the exact same thing. It's the exact same thing. It's not so much as putting pressure on the throat, but more so on the bottom jaw. And pushing up as you're pushing down.
Right.
But in today's world and in today's environment, no one really knows what to do. It's a damn if you do, damn if you don't. If I'm trained to stop something and I don't, I'm fucked. If I do and it goes sideways, I'm fucked. Bottom line,
okay,
if I'm
so
a doctor.
Can I stop you right there for a minute? Can I stop you right there for a minute? I want you to, because I don't want to lose train of thought, but I want to ask you a question real quick, because here's the thing. I have to go back to the whole situation of what you just said. The individual put Neely into a chokehold, right, got him off his feet onto the ground. If you watch the video, and you see where Neely is kind of like moving his legs, like, you know. Now, the human body knows how to respond. If someone grabs you and tries to cut off your windpipe, you're going to resist that, right?
Right.
In my opinion, when I look at the video, yeah, he's not trying to punch, or he's not trying to squirm, or he's not, you know what I'm saying, his body's not reacting in a dramatic way or anything. He's like, he's kind of like calm, but he's like almost in a state of hell. I really can't do anything, right? He moves his legs and everything, so he's conscious. We know that, but it has to be uncomfortable. It's got to be uncomfortable.
Right.
Now let's fast forward to the other individuals who come to intervene. The person who has him in the chokehold should realize at that point, well, he's not a threat to anyone, because here's three of us that can control the situation regardless of what he does. No weapons are seen, right? He never showed a weapon. He never showed a knife or a gun or anything. So at that point, it should be where three people, just like with officers, are where if we three cannot control this individual on our own, we some sorry motherfuckers. You know, you guys, I don't cuss much on the show. But then you some sorry asses. If it's three of you.
And that's
control.
Probably the case, Mike, because one was kneeling trying to hold one arm, and one was trying to grab the other arm. And they never could. Now, the Marine really couldn't let go. Okay, he didn't have to keep squeezing, but he couldn't let go.
They couldn't grab his arms?
No, because he was moving his arm and they couldn't grab it. They didn't grab his arm until he basically blacked out. Now, if the Marine had let him go and he caught his breath and got up and pulled a gun out of the back of his pants, hypothetical, because he did make the statement he's ready to die. They don't know what's going on. I don't agree. I don't think he should be charged with murder, involuntary manslaughter, and let it go from there. I don't think he intended to kill him. The grimace on his face wasn't a smile. It's just like when you grab something tight, you grit your teeth. I don't think he really knew what was going on. He was just trying to contain the situation, not knowing what the situation was. Maybe some of the other people knew this guy. Apparently the Marine didn't. But like I said, it goes back to damn if you do, damn if you don't. If you're a doctor and someone's having a heart attack in front of you and you are supposed to render aid and you don't, and video surveillance find out that you were there, you're liable.
Okay, so here's the problem I have with that. I agree with a lot that you said. Here's the problem I have with that, is that where you said they couldn't grab his arms. Now, visualize a chokehold. You've seen it.
Yeah.
So, and you're on the ground. They're both on the ground. Look at the body positions of the two individuals, the combatants, I guess
right.
you can call them.
Right.
The individual who's applying the chokehold has his legs wrapped around this person's body. The
right.
arms are above, right? The arms
mm-hmm.
are above the individual's legs, who, in fact, the guy who was choking him, Penny, had his legs wrapped around his body.
Mm-hmm.
So the arms can flay, but what I'm saying is that where even if his arms are flaying, you got two people that are trying to stop his arms from flaying. You telling me they could not at any point with two hands grab one arm and hold it down, and the other one, two people there now, can't take their two hands and grab the right arm and hold it down while his neck is being in his chokehold. Is that what you're telling
me? I can't answer that, Mike, because I'm not them. You know, I don't know what was going through their mind at the time to where they felt so reserved and so cautious
to only try to grab.
Wait.
Yes.
Where they were only trying to grab his hands with one of their hands. I don't know why they stayed so reserved and laid back. You know, when he had him on the ground, they should have been all over him. If they were worried that he was going to roll, try to reach for a knife or anything, they should have been all over him. I can't speak for those two men. I don't know why they did what they did.
Mm-hmm.
I would have done something different. You know, I would have used all my force necessary to grab his hand and hold it.
But you do understand, because what I'm saying, you do understand why I asked you that, because you being an officer, you've gone through a lot of different scenarios. And I'm sure you've seen a lot of stuff that you'd be amazed that how did they manage to do that? What I'm saying is that what you said before, what you said that according to whatever you probably read, okay, is that the two individuals couldn't grab his arm. And I'm like, wait a minute. If I'm in a chokehold, someone is choking my life out of me, and I'm, you know, struggling and waving my arms, that's just part of fighting for your life. That's just part of fighting for your life.
So what's the first thing that you do?
Can I just finish here?
that would be just normally fighting for your life, not necessarily trying to reach for anybody, just reaching up and like, hey, you know. But if there's two other individuals that are coming to assist, which the video clearly shows, as you said, I'm in a chokehold.
Right.
How come two other individuals cannot pin my arms down to keep me from fleeing? You know, because the things that, as you said, if his arms are up, that's a difference than him trying to reach down to his pockets to get a weapon. See?
Hold on.
That's the difference. If his arms were down and he was struggling trying to reach into his pockets, then that would cause concern. Then you would be like, he's reaching for something. He's reaching for something, as many officers have said before.
Right.
But if his arms are up, he's not reaching for something to harm anybody. Correct me if I'm wrong.
You have to look at it this way, Mike. They're trying to contain him. Okay, somebody's choking you. What is your first reaction? To reach up to your throat to get whatever's choking you off your throat.
Exactly.
So let me finish. So if they're applying pressure, he's continuously swinging his arms trying to get this guy's arm off of him, and they couldn't get control of his arm because, and I'll say it, I don't know if it's true or not, they weren't man enough. They didn't take it seriously enough to gain control of him so that he would relax. So as he's constantly reaching up to this guy, the Marine's arm, the Marine is applying more pressure, trying to get him to relax so they can grab his arms. Now, I'm not giving the Marine a pass because I still feel like he didn't use the ladder of escalating force. But I can't speak on behalf on why those two guys, you know, couldn't grab his arm. You know, maybe one had slow-mo disease. Maybe one had diabetes. I don't know. They just weren't moving fast enough or trying to grab in an aggressive enough manner.
Here's the problem I have. Here's the main problem I have. There was no conversation. See, Penny never said, hey, stop resisting, relax. I'll release the pressure if you relax. Calm down. Never said that. He just kept putting
that's
on
what,
pressure.
That's what the police said.
Hold on, sir. That's the fucking problem I have here, is that there was no conversation. There was nothing to give him an opportunity to, as you just said, put your arms down, I'll release the pressure.
Right.
Right. And they're right.
He's not a police officer. He's a Marine.
You go into combat,
you don't tell the enemy, stop resisting and I'll release you.
Right.
You black his ass out.
Hold on, Janet. I've seen too many situations where officers say, stop resisting. And the person will say, well, you're putting on the cuffs too tight. Stop resisting. Put the cuffs on, and then you can if you calm down, you know. Otherwise, I mean, you can make this easier or harder. And I know I've seen many of that shit go on.
And let me explain that. That's something that's taught to you in the academy, the police academy. Not the military boot camp. That's taught to you in the police academy. And the reason why they teach you that is because they want witnesses to hear you trying to calm the person down and de-escalate.
Did this man deserve to be choked out and killed on a subway train unarmed?
No.
Touched anybody. I mean, if he attacked somebody and it was where someone was defending a person, did he deserve based on his words of what he said, okay, for someone to put him into a chokehold, which, I mean, if it seemed like he was going to be a threat, I understand that. But like you just said, two other individuals intervened. So now you got three people on one person. This is what, you know, that really bothers me. Three people cannot subdue one person?
And that's what the investigators will find out, why they didn't have a sense of urgency of gaining complete control of him the way the Marine did. And that's why I say involuntary manslaughter and not murder. I don't think his intent was to kill him. Unfortunately, it did.
Well, you know, we have to look at his background and look at what, you know, his social media stuff was and everything, because that's what they do now. They look at intent.
Right.
And what is your connection to certain groups, whether it be white supremacy, Black Lives Matter, or any black group, you know. I mean, they look at all that, you know, to see what have you posted. That's the type of world that we live in now, because then what they do, they look at where this might be some kind of attempt. Intent, right? And it's coming out a lot. And school shootings and everything. Coming out of,
you know,
of this hate.
Some type of initiation into a right-wing activist or a gang or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I understand all of that.
Exactly. Exactly. So
I don't think it's our place. And I learned this when I was working the streets with the people that I was dealing with. It's not our place to place judgment on others. We might be able to attempt to judge a situation, but we really can't judge individuals. It's not our place. I would look at crackheads all the time. I can't judge them because I don't know their situation. I just know that they have an addiction. But I can't judge them and say, well, they're bad. They're getting ready to go steal something. They're smoking dope.
Well, here's the thing that, excuse me, I agree with you on that. Again, we'll have another conversation on that, because I deal with homeless, drug-addicted people every day, honestly. I deal with shoplifters every day. I deal with what I know are shoplifting crews every day. Professionals.
Right.
I deal with it every day where I work. And even the crew that, even though I'm not part of them, they make me aware of, look out for this person and everything. Now, I'm not going to put my life on the damn line to stop, you know, a robbery. I'm like, okay, I've seen him in here, whatever, y'all do your job, right? I'm not chasing them down, not supposed to. I just can identify. I know, yeah, they come in here and steal all the time. The point I'm getting to is that where, you know, we know that this type of thing happens and it goes on every day, right?
Right.
But with, first, let's clear up this whole thing about the subway thing. But again, as a regular citizen, you do not have the right to take the life of another citizen, unarmed one. You don't have that, especially if they're not a threat to you and have not posed an actual threat, physical threat, to anybody else. Hell, I catch the bus and I hear folks singing and acting crazy and singing, you know, from time to time. I'll catch the bus and I hear folks singing songs and, you know, some rap lyrics and everything. What, I'm supposed to take that as a threat? I'll kill that motherfucker. Excuse my language. But you know what I'm saying? You know, they're singing the song. Am I supposed to be afraid now? It's in the words of the, he's got on his headphones. It's in the words of the song that he's singing that. So do I have the right to grab him and put him to a chokehold because based on what he's listening to in his AirPods, I'm thinking I'm being threatened? No. only time I'm threatened is when they get up in my face, or they show a weapon. But you got a lot of mental health people out here on the streets that will say stuff. You don't have the right to kill them.
And that's why I don't think that was his intent.
You do not have the right to kill a person who verbally says something. You really don't. Now, that's a threat.
Okay.
You're supposed to report it. You're supposed to report it. But you do not have the right to kill them. If you have a firearm, you feel uncomfortable, you can pull your firearm out and be like, hey, did you say you would kill me? I guarantee you they will run or get out of your face. Mental health people deal with that type of stuff. And they might not be talking about you. In their mind, they're talking about somebody else that they're mad at. Somebody else that they've been dealing with. You just overheard that conversation in their head.
In today's world, what are people to think and what are people to do? In today's
Whatever happened to mental hospitals?
Well,
to help people.
They're not making any money. So they're not really fucking helping nobody.
There you go.
And I'm just being honest. I mean, PTSD has been around for a long time. Mental illness has been around for a long time. You know, just like when you go to the doctor, you go for a hernia, and they refer you to their doctor friends, their buddies, so that they can keep sucking off the fucking insurance. Excuse my language, Janet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, constantly drawing money from the insurance.
I'm sorry. I want to make something clear. It's okay to cuss on the show. You just cannot cuss each other. That's my rule.
Right.
Seriously.
I know,
two,
but, you know,
Janet's
a girl.
You're okay to say, you know, I don't give a shit about this, that, and the other. That's cool. But you will not be allowed to cuss somebody else out on the show. That's my rule.
I know. Janet's my girl. You know, she rode in my gremlin, so she can tell in the infliction in my voice when
that's right.
I'm getting,
and Quinton, no, I don't swear, and I feel you can get your point across without putting a swear word in there.
Right.
Because I've done it. I can make a person
well,
cry.
I do allow it here. You know, I do allow it as long as you do not cuss anybody else. I know some people are adamant about what they're talking about, and sometimes it might slip up. I do it. I might say, you know, because I'm very adamant about what I'm talking about. And if I have to make it, you know, that way, that's just me. You know, but it's not personal. It's not a cuss word towards you. So, you know, for me to call you out your name, which I know a lot of shows that do that on a regular, call each other MS and this and that. I'm like, you know, I said, you know what? I'm not going to even be involved with these shows, you know, and I tell them, I'm done. It's okay to cuss somebody else out. That's my rule.
Right. And back on that, Mike, I mean, we as a society are so on edge from everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when you have people who are trained in certain things, people who are not trained in certain things, you know, we don't know which way to go. We don't know whether to go forwards or whether to go backwards. You know, because we're so on edge with all the shootings and everything that's been going on, you know, and people just want to do the right thing. Sometimes it turns out to be the wrong thing. You know, we don't know. It's like if you're driving down the highway and you see a lady on the side of the highway with a flat tire, and you pull over to help her. And as you get out and approach her car, guys run out of the bushes and carjack you and drive off in your car.
That's a good point. That's a good conversation. I'm glad you said that because I've seen a lot of videos, and I mean, you know, I'm not a TV show fanatic type thing. I look at stuff on social media. I don't believe everything I see, but some of the cameras and the stuff of what you just said, I'm like, wow, they really did that? You know, gas station robberies, you know, where, you know, folks get out to pump their gas and somebody sneaks up and steals a purse or, you know, and people leave the car running or whatever. Someone jumps in the car and takes it off. You're right. That's what's going on here. Here's a sad thing,
right,
too.
So how would you feel, though? How would you feel if you didn't stop for that lady, got home, went to sleep, woke up the next morning, and then that lady is on the news for something bad that has happened to her?
Right. I'm mm-hmm. No.
So
you,
we're
you,
at
you
a point
definitely,
where we don't know whether they go forwards or backwards.
But here's the thing, is that where, you know, In all honesty, and I get what you're saying because I know those situations happen a lot. I'm pretty sure of it. I haven't witnessed it, but I've seen stories of it where folks have said, yeah, I saw that before it really transpired. You know what I mean? The buildup of it,
yeah.
But I didn't think anything was really going to happen. You know, folks have shared those stories. You're definitely right on point. But the things that where – it's a question of our society, the young folks and even the older folks. We all have to understand that where there's really a problem here. There's really a problem. And if we cannot come together as, you know, in my mind, as far as my generation and the new generation, if the new generation doesn't want to understand, history repeats itself. It really does to a certain extent. You want to change things. You don't want to do what mama and daddy did. And they think, okay, that's fine. But you have to look at the rules of laws and the rules of understanding and respect. Because if you let things get so far out of hand, you're going to be afraid to walk out your damn front door. You follow me? I'm talking about the young folks. You're going to be afraid. And it's already at that point. Young kids getting shot over the beef between two teenage boys, and the kids are out here playing, and they want to have gunfire like it's the Wild Wild West towards each other. And guess who gets killed? Not them. Somebody's two innocent kids in the crossfire. I've been in courtrooms and seen these cases. Literally. I saw one little kid who survived this and watched him testify. I literally go up to the courthouse and watch these damn cases, and it breaks my damn heart. And we really, you know, all these celebrities, all these rappers and everything, and the thing is, look, I don't give a damn about what the rappers do. If that's what you want to do, fine. But many of you all done died over the years. I never heard no beef between no country and westerns and rock artists. I say that all the time.
Yes.
I never see that shit. It's always rappers. The beef they have. I don't get that. And people love it. People love this shit. And I'm like, really? So 3 months later, you want to hear about so-and-so died, so-and-so died. Oh, wow. Really? This is the norm? You see what I'm saying? I mean, this is like where life has no value to you, but you love your life. You love your children's lives. You want your kids to do better. But as long as you condone what's happening, what's happening in your communities, what's happening with your favorite rap artist and everything, you're really setting yourself up for something that may not be good for your kid, for yourself. I'm just really saddened with this, you know. And I'm sorry, you guys. I'm trying to understand. I've never heard of a country and western artist being shot to death over beef over another country and western artist or a rock artist. It's only in rap. Why? Why are y'all writing and have this beef against each other and put it out here in music? Your personal opinions or thoughts and everything, you go out here and you shoot somebody, and then you go on social media and you tell what the hell you did, and lo and behold, you go to jail. How ignorant can you be? Oh, I'm proud of myself. I did what I had to do. Really? Really?
That's because most of them don't know what cow tipping is.
They don't know what is?
What cow tipping is.
Explain. I'm sorry. I know what cow chipping is. I know there's a sport in that in the Midwest where you throw pieces of cow shit. But
no,
explain
cow tipping is where when you have an issue, you go get drunk together, you go out in the field, and you take turns trying to push the cow over and let the cow kick the shit out of you.
I've never known that. I've never experienced that. That's new to me, bro. Seriously.
That's the country western part of it.
Okay. I've never heard that. Seriously. All right. New to me, bro.
Being in the military around some very racist people that didn't like blacks didn't like whites, Hispanics didn't trust either one, but we had to learn all how to work together. We talked, and we learned a lot about each other to where we were able to get along with each other and trust one another.
Right. Well, here's the thing is that I grew up in a very diverse neighborhood. I think I shared this. There was Hispanic, black, white, and Asian. The Hirakawas, the Robledos, the Johnsons, the Breckenridge, which, you know, that's not a black last name, but the Breckenridge family had the biggest house on the whole street. I was blessed to live on a street that was very diverse. We used to be able to do, you know, sleep outs on the front yard in our sleeping bags. We used to do that stuff. You won't see that shit nowadays, you know. But that was the era that I grew up in, being comfortable and playing certain games. Technology is definitely a main force now. And come next week, next Saturday, Janet and I are going to do some research, because right now the major thing that people are talking about is AI. And for you guys that are listening that don't know, artificial intelligence is definitely going to be a fear in the future. There's already been conversations about it. Janet, you already know that. Conversations about where, you know, one of the senators made a video, audio of his voice speaking of something that he doesn't really believe in, and he does not support, but his family was with. Certain individuals will probably send it to millions of phone calls, and people will believe it's him. That's a scary thing. Artificial intelligence is very scary. There's some positives to it, but oh my God, and politics, I've been reading up on it. I've been looking at the videos. this is scary because you could believe it's who you think it is. You really could. Janet, you're aware of that, right?
Yes. They're trying, they're asking to be regulated, but they really don't want to be regulated. Just like when Facebook wanted
right.
to be regulated, things got in place, you know, and they still did a lot of stuff that was not necessary. But artificial intelligence, yes, it's real scary
mm-hmm.
because I know in the future, you know, I saw the movie iRobot with Will Smith when the robot thought it was human and they were telling people to stay in their houses and taking over. I think that can actually happen.
Let me tell you something. There's so many movies I've seen over the years that I'm looking at. Well, let me say this. Not just iRobot, because you're talking about a right, which you don't see robots walking streets. One movie was, what is it called, with our boy who does all the Highway to the Danger Zone movies, okay? He did one called Tom Cruise called Minority Report. This was one of the most freakiest movies. If you haven't seen it, they have what they call the three individuals who's be in this pool, and they can see a crime before it happens, right? Now, not saying that that will actually happen with human beings, but computers probably, and it's probably in the process of them having your information, your background and everything, and looking at this matter. I'm just saying hypothetically. I found that kind of scary. But then I go back even further in time. There was a movie called, it was with, and she died off the boat with her, she had drowned. What was her name that drowned
Nelly,
and then they never did?
Natalie Wood.
Huh?
Natalie
Wood played in a movie called Brainstorm.
Yeah.
Right now you have a video game, right? Or a video system where you put on the goggles and you see everything you want to see. You interact, right? That's
mm-hmm.
what Brainstorm was about. This was back in 1980-something, I think, late 80s, when they made this movie of this concept. It did not exist. But
it exists now, though.
You have this. You have it. That's
why I mentioned iRobot, because this could be our future. With the artificial intelligence, they are making robots that look like people, act like people. You can't even tell that it's a robot. There's a movie out right now called Megan. It's a movie out right now called Megan.
Yep.
Okay.
Crenshaw, you were saying.
I was saying that. I was laughing at your I went to the danger zone comment, but they got a lot of movies out now. I watched one the other night where the couple in Scotland or somewhere had a maid that was a robot that looked like
mm-hmm.
a real woman,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the husband ended up cheating on the wife with
the
robot, and then the robot ended up basically trying to take the wife's place and get rid of the wife.
Yeah.
Hello. And if you look at, in fact, there's a movie called Megan I watched.
I just said that.
Okay. It's not that bad. It's like a PG-13. But the thing is what I'm saying. You're being introduced to the possibilities and the reality of IA, artificial intelligence. And it's definitely going to be here. Definitely going to be here. Already in
it's
your grocery store.
They've been doing it in China and different places.
Already in your grocery stores, and many other things that you do every day, there is some form of it being introduced slowly but surely, because they want you to get used to the transition and the things that you don't, you really don't have a say into it, in a sense. You really don't, because you're dealing with the companies that you that you depend on that are introducing these type of technologies. So you really have no say so.
So isn't that really the, wouldn't AI be really the replacement theory? Because that's what's happening.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I just said, right. Artificial intelligence is going to replace the human aspect into business, into companies. They're going to replace the human aspect, right?
Right. So they're worried about color.
Mm-hmm.
They're worried about skin mm-hmm. color replacing, but yet and still they're constantly developing software for AI to do the replace.
Just
right.
like the car
it's
that drives by itself, the Tesla car.
Exactly. So here's the whole pro and con, is that while people are sitting up here saying, you know, the Mexicans are coming here and taking our jobs, well, they're taking the jobs that we don't want to do, like going into the fields and picking stuff. But at some point, as our artificial intelligence continues to grow in technology, they're going to build equipment that can take the place of the pickers and the, you know what I'm saying, you know, or folks that do farm work. They're going to do that. Well, I know, Janet. I know. They're going to replace them. I know they already have them. They're just waiting for the right time to go ahead and say, here you go. This is what we're going to do. And it's nothing that we're going to be able to do to stop it whatsoever at all. The only
just like
job
right now, there's not machines for farming that will pick up where people used to have to pick berries and stuff by hand. You got a machine that can do work 15 times faster than the average person.
Janet, your trash men, if you remember, there was a driver and two guys that used to hang on the back of the truck, right?
Excuse me.
I'm trying to finish my story. There was a time you had a driver and two guys on the back of the truck and grab the cans. Now, I've seen where there's one driver and they got this arm that comes out. They line up with the can and grab the can and dump it over and drop the can. Thus, two jobs gone. Tell me you ain't seen it, because I see it every day. There's one person on that truck. He pulls up. It's got this electronic arm that grabs that can, throws it over, drops it back down. Major stores now are looking at having less cashiers. They just want it where self checkout, right? They'll hire folks to stand there, you know, that might have a problem with the self checkout computer. They can't really fix it. They have something to reset it and everything. So that's what's going on in that realm. But
yes, and all the stores just about BJ's, Costco, Sam's. You know, at Walmart, there's only two cash registers open, maybe one in the back where there's a person, but everything else is self-checkout. Everything else.
Well, you just mentioned Walmart, and that's where I work. I work in electronics and photo lab. We have two cash registers there. People try to come over there in my department and check out a buggy full of shit. And I'm like, no, 10 items or less.
Because, see, they don't want to go through the self-checkout, right? But the thing is that where electronics and photo lab is a service department. It's not a checkout stand. You follow me? You know, and I make that very clear. I'm not going to stand here and scan all these. And second thing is this, or third thing, is this, where if you got certain items that have to be weighed, there's no scale in that area. You follow me? So people need to understand that. And I make that very clear. And some get mad. They're like, well, I have more shopping to do. I'm like, well, you can come back and pay for it. Well, I don't want to scan my car twice. I get charged. That's your problem, not mine. That's your problem. Thing is, I'm not going to sit up here and scan all this stuff here, and there's other folks waiting. This is a service department. Certain items that are locked up, certain items that are locked up has to be purchased in that department. Now, here's the crazy thing I saw. They're locking up underwear at Walmart. Underwear? Come on. Goes to show how crazy things are happening in this world. It really is. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and get on out of here and see you guys next Saturday. We have a lot more we're going to talk about. We got some great guests that I'm lining up. Thanks to Mr. Lee Bailey. Thank you, sir. He hooked me up with an amazing music producer, and you'll be shocked and surprised of the individuals that he's worked with and songs and the artists that he produced for many years, some classics that I'm sure you love. We're working on getting him on within the next 3 weeks, if not two, and see how it goes. I think it's going to be awesome. You guys are really love it. Okay, without that, you know, without any further ado, let me go ahead and let us get out of here. Officer Crenshaw, thank you so much. Your last words before we go.
I went to the danger zone.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to get into some music more so on our show. I want to do something pretty much play some tracks. Or just like a, you know, name that tune type thing. That would be a lot of fun. I don't want us to do politics all the time. I don't want us to do death or anything, but let's have some fun here. I'm going to put together a list of a bunch of songs and play a little bit of it, and we're going to play some name that tune here on TMGS and see what you really know about music. I'm talking about everything from R&B, country and western, rock, everything. See what you really know, right? Okay. All right, now, you guys. Hey, thank you guys for listening and tuning in to TMGS here on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be back next Saturday, as usual, and we'll have some more conversation and topics for you. See you next Saturday. God bless. Enjoy the rest of your week. Peace.
Good night.